I'm finally starting to understand overcoming. It's not to be distant. It's not to say, I don't want to go to church today. That's not overcoming. It's to say, I want to gather with the people with whom I'm going to spend eternity with and worship the God I'm going to be before forever. That's what worship is.
And that's what heaven is all about. Curious about what heaven is? Well, I'm glad you've joined us. Today we have a bird's eye view right out of Revelation chapters 21 and 22. It's a look at heaven. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, and we invite you to join us today. As we begin our time together, we get a very insightful view of heaven through the eyes of John, who writes Revelation. He notes something quite unusual about heaven. Here's Pastor Chris to start things off today.
The first thing that John notices about the city is it's not that everyone has their own little plots of land and is doing their own thing, but that the city itself, as the people, are identified as one. The complete healing of that division is over. There's no more suburbs. There's no more flight from people who are different than you. There's no more gathering with only those who are like you. There's no more retirements to build your own mansions just away from it all. The foolishness and often very selfish separation of you wanting to be on your own is overcome in glory. How many of you want to get out of California right now? Right? How many of you say it? I want my little piece of land. That's my dream. I want my little piece of land somewhere out in Idaho. I could be a rancher with horses and animals, as if that would be a good thing for me. I don't even know how to handle an animal. It's the battle we fight. People want to move and fulfill their dreams. The last thing on their minds is the what? Church. The church is merely used in these scenarios of our designs if it fits into the place that we have dreamed for ourselves. That's how we treat it. That's what we're constantly fighting. Everyone, whoever wants to move, wants to go do that. And you have this question, well, have you thought about the church? And you'd be amazed in my time of ministry how I've seen people go out, build their dreams, and they're then totally disconnected from the church. This is what Satan tempted Adam to in the beginning and Eve. You don't like this design. You don't have to follow this design. And he separated them. I think most people think of heaven this way. What do you think the church is? It's the beginning of this. It's the beginning of what you read. It's the introduction to this in life. By the way, this is was James Boyce, his dream. I've read it more than a few times in his writings that he prayed again that Christians would change their whole mindsets with regard to the city and go back to it to fulfill their witness in it. The city is a people fellowshipping with their God and worshiping him together. And it sounds a little bit like what we're doing now, isn't it? That's why we say there's no salvation outside the church, and that troubles people. Why does that trouble people? Because of that individualistic spirit. What do you mean? I can be saved on my own. No, God created a community, a people, and saved them together. What has the gospel accomplished? What has God told you is the goal of redemption for you? That you may have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, and that in that love, now think about the very high priestly prayer we all love, that in that love we may be one as they are one. Father, I pray that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. That's what God's building, a city. That's what he's building. And that you begin to love and enjoy the community redeemed and the fellowship that he has for you in that oneness. So we have to think strongly about what it means if we claim to be followers of Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't this mean that the priority of our lives is worship? Doesn't it? Think of the imagery when the church gathers, the church locally where God has placed you. God has his church all over the world where God has placed you. And the church together is worshiping and you have said, no, I'm going to be on my own. This is what we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what he's creating, a community to be the objects of his love in harmony and peace together. The city of God is a people fellowshipping together. Now, what does that tell you about the character of this city? Let's look for a minute at the character of this city. There's a few things that I want to highlight here that will encourage you, and then we're going to get a look at the life to close this out. Notice verse 25, that what is said in verse 25 about the city is that the gates are always open. Look at it there in verse 25. And the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. What does he want you to know? There will never be a time throughout eternity that you don't have access and dwell in this city. You're never on the outside. You're not alienated. I'm going to come back to this thought in a minute. The city never closes. And he wants to make sure you understand, there's no shortage of space in this city. Did you notice how much emphasis there is on the size, the sheer size of the city? It's a perfect cube. Its length, verse 16, breadth and height are equal at 12,000 furlongs. What it says is that the city is so vast, it's complete in every way. The space is the people. The second thing that is said there is that the city is completely secure. It's hard to talk about walls today, isn't it? I'm going to build a wall, and it's going to be a glorious wall. Well, God has a wall, but it's not a wall between the U.S. and Mexico. John says, measure the wall. It's a beautiful wall. Pure jasper, stone, like you've never seen. Notice this here. John wants us to understand the city is a place. It's using a figure. The city is a place of complete safety. It's completely safe. Verse 27 says it, that there is enters nothing ever that could defile or cause abomination. Notice that nothing can harm you in this city. Nothing can hurt you in this city. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Never again will you be subject to any harm in this place. That was the story of the human race. Satan slithered right on in to the garden, didn't he? It can't happen. It's a wall saying nothing evil can ever be there again. Third, the Lord wants us to understand it's a place that you will never stop contemplating its beauty, the character of the city. Sometimes people wonder, well, I can't imagine. This isn't all that exciting. What, you know, or what are we just going to stand around and worship every day? The first part of our struggle when considering heaven is what it is going to be like is that we're trying to consider it with eyes when presently we're living by faith. But if God has made this wonderful eye, and think of the marvel of the eye, think about it resurrected. If you can enjoy beauty in this state, imagine a resurrected eye. What do people do today? Well, even the creation, even though it groans, it still shows us the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God and the earth his handiwork. We run all over the United States looking at stuff, don't we? I mean, you look at the tourists that will come and stand in front of the sequoia tree over there, General Sherman. Snap, snap, snap. Ooh, wow. Ooh, wow. And they'll do it for hours. We run all over the world doing this with our cameras and our phones. You are going to look at the structure of this. You're going to look at the construction. A lot better even than this, by the way. You're going to look at the construction of the city that God constructed, and you'll have an eternity to glorify him in enjoying it. Looking at its beauty, that's part of your worship. Looking at its beauty, this is what we're all fighting and wanting to see now, beauty. It gives us the language of the greatest things we know in this life to help us understand that are beautiful. All kinds of precious stones to look at and study. This is what the Psalms say about God's people. The works of the Lord are studied by those who take pleasure in them. That's glory. You'll do it forever. If the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth is handiwork now, imagine it all raised and not subject to corruption. The city is beautifully serene and wonderful to behold. It's full of the people of the Lamb. I mean, think of what's said to you so far. It's always open. There's no darkness. The nations walk together in love and in harmony. No more racial division. Its glory is forever studied. It's secure. Nothing dangerous. I was reading the Huffington Post recently, a piece that was titled, What factors make a city great? Listen to this. Number one, culture. When a city as a whole can invest in cultural assets like design projects and public parks, it's probably succeeding. Number two, buy-in. Diversity doesn't strictly concern different races and ethnicities within a city, though it is a significant factor. They recognize this. The real question is, who is actually participating in this city, and how deep does the participation run in all directions? They know that's key to a city. The buy-in is their participation. It's therefore critical that you have a buy-in of the people in the city. People want to be true stakeholders in what happens in their areas. Cities should offer their citizens inclusive opportunities and a sense of personal pride in the overall infrastructure. Number three, connectedness. This is critical for the advancement of the city. It means that people are in tune with what's going on, are spreading it around, and want to meet. I'm reading the Huffington Post, by the way. They want to meet. The outdoors. Do you actually want to get out in your city? Do people exercise outside of air-conditioned gyms? Are there spectacular views of the architecture? The most important factor, they said, which is included in all of the points above, is clearly a city's people. Quality city building is primarily about quality team building, as well as staying conscious of the people you intend to serve. Why I read that is to say, see what's wired into us? It's wired. The city is wired into us. And we know what would make for a good city. Well, I want to walk with you just for a minute through the city then of God in the time I have left this morning. Let's look at her for a minute. Let's consider her. Let's walk through her. You enter one of the 12 gates, and then you see one major beautiful street of pure gold like transparent glass. The 12 gates, meaning there is abundant opportunity for the best places of gathering. Best places of gathering. What do you do? Well, look over there at verse 1 of chapter 22. What do you see first? And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now listen carefully. In the middle of the street, and it says it here, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. What do we put in cities to make them places of happiness? We all know. A park. That's exactly what's described in the middle of the city. I was thinking a little bit, poor Escondido. The best they can do is grape day, you know. I know that we're looking for a new superintendent right now, and I would encourage all those involved, don't take them to grape day. It just doesn't tell the whole story, does it? None of you are planning lunches down there this afternoon, are you? Why? Well, I think you know. The park is run down. Something happened to our parks. We've tried hard. And it accumulates in the middle of our parks all the misery that we know. I find that just striking. So that we're scared sometimes to head down to the park. In this park, there are no homeless. There are no drugs. There are no gangs. Alongside of both avenues of this river are trees. And it's a river like you've never seen before. This is the river of life that's been talked about in the Bible, and you've heard about your whole life, captured in the book of Ezekiel. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on one side and on the other. Notice there's not one tree. It's many trees. And he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, and it goes into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the waters will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. So everything will live where the water goes. And on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Thus says the Lord God, this is the boundary by which you shall divide the land for the inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel." Here it is. He's picked up on the whole thing. I looked and I saw this magnificent street, pure gold, transparent glass, and river was on both sides, the river flowing out from this garden. And I saw the tree of life, but it was amazing because as I looked, I saw this cluster of trees in the middle and around the river that went, there were trees everywhere. What makes this city so wonderful? Well, I haven't really got there yet, have I? What makes heaven heaven? Clearly, the center of all of this is verse 22. I love seeing your heads go down. That is just wonderful. 22. "But I saw no temple in it. The city of the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." Notice this. "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." Such a beautiful verse. "The temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb." There's Jesus. There he is. The one you've believed, the one you've professed all your life. He's in the city. He's seated. He's your light. He's your life. And notice what we're doing. If the Huffington Post can realize it needs the best places to gather, God just told you. Written in natural law, we know this. The best place to gather is right there where we come to worship him. And there's no night, there's no weariness, there's no darkness. The Lord's light emanates from that throne, giving light to all. And we reign forever and ever with him. What makes the city so wonderful is the goal of your salvation fully realized, that we have fellowship because the Lord is in the midst. The Lord is there. And John is describing the absolute happiness of heaven. This has been our entire struggle in this life, to glorify and enjoy God. And what's pictured here is the ultimate happiness and desire of wanting to be in front of him and being there to enjoy him, his glory. It's a light not consuming you, but a light of his favor on you forever. To fully enjoy his people whom he redeemed as his reward. Forget that. Dear angel, what is this? It's Garden Avenue. It's Garden Avenue. The highlight of it all is there's no more curse. What are you looking at? Paradise restored. God is closing his Bible to you with the scene he began and opened the Bible with when he handed it to you. Paradise was lost in the first Adam. Now, in the last Adam, paradise is restored, and he gives us life forever. We live in that life. And he holds out for us the ability to eat forever from the tree that Adam was barred from. That's where we are headed. Now, doesn't that motivate you to overcome? I think it should. That's held out for you. And I'm starting now to understand overcoming as I finally close the Bible. I'm finally starting to understand overcoming. It's not to be distant, is it? It's not to say, I don't want to go to church today. That's not overcoming. It's to say, I want to gather with the people with whom I'm going to spend eternity with and worship the God I'm going to be before forever. That's what worship is. That's coming. That's overcoming. But it's also a message to begin thinking now about the importance in the present of our worship and our service and our love. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? That we would be one in love. That we would look a lot like heaven on earth to a world that sits under judgment. They would see it. I just have to say that the patterns and convictions in people's life, the priorities show where you are. Do you want to be alone? Think of what you're saying to God. You're saying no thanks to your future. And that's why Jesus talked about hell as a place of outer darkness. Well, I hope by faith you'll say, this is splendid, this is wonderful, this is my future. What a privilege to join the body now, even in hardship as I live by faith, to begin this. And then one day I get to enjoy this by sight, and I promise you, that's why the scriptures say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Praise the Lord. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb as we now learn to enjoy this fellowship with God and his Son and his people.
Well, there you have it, a view of heaven, a look at heaven from the eyes of John here in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Well, we have one more look that'll take us through two radio programs next week, so we hope you'll join us then as we take a look at the final few verses of Revelation.
And you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment to close out our time together today with a word of prayer. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start, agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. Here's Pastor Chris now to close out our time today with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such a glorious picture of heaven. Thank you for helping us. We fully confess we've been selfish about this and have not understand what you're saying to us the way that we should. Give us all a desire and an understanding, even now, that our love would show, that our fellowship would be strong, and that we would live realizing where we're headed and what is held out for us, overcoming as we learn to love one another fervently with a sincere heart. And thank you for being with us. Even now, we're not alone. You tell us all the time that the essence and happiness of the Christian life is that you're with us. We're not alone. And we look forward to that ultimately in glory when we will be with you forever. Encourage your people with these words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see you back here Monday for another broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio in Revelation chapter 22. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.